Jason. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. And I know he's been faithful to every one of you as well. He's faithful to people that don't think he's faithful to him. People that want to question, why did God let this happen? God has been faithful to that person. And if they could look at it from a different perspective, they would see God's faithfulness. I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. I would like for us to turn to Luke, the 4th chapter. I want to begin reading at the first verse, familiar text of Scripture. We want to deal with hunger today. Hunger. So if you have Luke 4, verse 1, you can start there, please.
And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Okay, this is the temptation of Christ. He was being tempted, being full of the Holy Ghost, first of all. He was led up into the wilderness. Read.
Being 40 days tempted of the devil.
Yes.
And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were in the afterward hungered.
Okay. In 40 days he fasted for 40 days. In those 40 days he ate nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered.
And the devil said unto,
him,
If thou be the
Son of God,
command this stone
that it be made bread.
Jesus
answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So here is Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you realize that some of the situations that we go into, some of the trials and tests that we have, the Lord leads us there. He wants to test us. He wants to prove whether or not we'll stand the test. Here Jesus, because he was tempted in all points like as we are, because he had to be tempted, because he had to be the perfect example for you and I, he had to be tempted in all the points that you and I would be tempted in. So the Lord, the Spirit led him. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, obviously, a person that's fasting for that period of time would be hungry. He comes down off of his fast, and here is the devil right there at that particular time. Do you realize that the devil is going to come against you at your most vulnerable position? At your most vulnerable time, at the time in which it seems like you're the weakest, the devil is going to come against you. But I want you to know and understand that you can have the power and the strength in the Lord not to yield to the temptations of the enemy. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've fasted, so to speak. But God can give you the kind of victory that you need in your soul that you do not have to succumb to the temptations and of the devil and the testings that the Lord sends you through. Do you realize that sometimes the Lord sends us through testing because he wants to show us what we have on hand? He already knows. But he said, listen, there's a test that's coming a little bit stronger than this right down the line. Do you realize that I'm trying to prepare you for what I have for you? And if you don't pass this test, you won't pass the next one. You won't pass the ones that are several days or weeks or years ahead. This is the prerequisite for you to get through that one. And so sometimes folks wonder, Lord, why did you send me through this? We sang a song, I believe, this morning that says, the Lord sent us through the flame that our soul's greater woe might be spared. Sometimes he sends us through these things, these small testings, so that we can see, Lord, I need more of the grace of God. I don't have on hand what I thought I had on hand. All of us have been in those places. All of us have thought we have been men and women of patience, and we felt like, oh, I can get through this and I can do this. But we find out that we have failed the Lord in some respect. Well, we didn't have enough patience. We didn't have enough long-suffering. And so the Lord said, in order to get into my heaven, in order to go through the tests and trials that you're going to go through, I'm going to send you to this thing one more time. And I want you to understand that you, what you have on hand, I want you to understand that you're going to need me to be able to get through it. Don't be so confident in yourself. Don't be so bold that you're able to do these things. We need the Lord every step of the way, don't we? We need the Lord at every point. All of us are too weak for the devil. But all of us are strong enough to resist him and stand against him in the power and the strength of God. If we stand on our own, we are no match to the devil. But if we stand in the power and might of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's no match to us.
Amen. Right.
We don't have to succumb, saints. You don't have to. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fall and dust yourself up and get back up. You don't have to do that. You can have the victory in your soul. This is Jesus going through the temptation. But what was the key? The key is that he was full of the Holy Ghost. You and I need the Holy Ghost. This is why we teach sanctification. This is why we empty ourselves out and we say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to live and to dwell in me. I cannot make it independent of the Holy Ghost. So when he said, full of the Holy Ghost, this is our example, our perfect example. Lord, I need your Spirit to be able to resist the temptations of the enemy. Do you realize that the Spirit of God is the same Spirit that moved upon the water? It is the same Spirit that when God spoke the word, let there be light, it is the Spirit that moved and caused those things to happen. It is a powerful Spirit. It is powerful enough to keep me from falling and to present me faultless. Is that powerful?
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes, sir.
I believe it too.
Amen.
I've experienced it. And I thank the Lord for it. Here is Jesus, again, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when it was ended, he afterwards hungered. Right there at that point, the devil knew exactly what his weak spot was. And I find it interesting that he hungered. That was the first test that he had. Hunger. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, when you're hungry, do you know when you're really hungry, there just about anything looks good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Jesus understood something. He understood that he had the power to turn a stone into bread. He could have done that if he'd wanted to. He turned water into wine. He did many, many miracles. And he could have turned stone into bread. And the devil knew that he could have done it as well. And he knew that at this temptation, this weak moment in his natural body, he realized that the devil realized that he could make a mere suggestion to him at this point and maybe get Jesus to succumb to it.
Yes.
Do you realize at your weakest points, the devil merely makes suggestions. You know, there are different suggestions that he makes. No matter what it is, what the setting is that you're in, he's going to make a suggestion that fits the thing that you're dealing with right at that moment. Now, it wouldn't have been wrong. You've heard me say this before. I don't believe it would have been wrong if Jesus had picked up a rock independent of Satan's suggestion and turned it into bread and ate it. I don't believe he could. But if he could have done that, he could have just said, I'm not hungry. Couldn't he? He just said, hunger be gone. So what was the point in yielding to the suggestion of the devil? He knew better. You and I must know better. Here's the point. We drive down the freeway, and Sunday is one of those days that a lot of us go out and eat in restaurants, don't we? Probably more so on a Sunday than any other day of the week, on average. I'm just saying, not just us here, but I'm just saying people in general. And oftentimes we decide that we want to go to the Olive Garden because somebody made the suggestion, or you saw it on a billboard, or you saw a coupon that somebody sent you, and it was just a mere suggestion for you to go to this particular place because they made it so luscious and beautiful. Have you ever noticed when you go to McDonald's how everything on the billboard looks so delicious, and when you get it, it's this little bitty sandwich. Doesn't look nearly as scrumptious as it did in the advertisement. They paint it up. They do whatever they've got to do. They make it look a lot better than when they put it on the assembly line. But we eat it anyway because of the suggestion. And so I believe what we have to understand is the devil knows what our needs are. He knows where we're going to hunger. And I want to read another scripture and bring us to this. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And I want to read starting the 6th verse. Let's read that in conjunction with this. This is talking about, the first one was talking about a natural hunger, and that Jesus was naturally hungry, and he realized that the way that we feel this, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is not the natural that we live by, it is the spiritual that we need most of all, isn't it? We realize that we've got to eat the natural things, but we realize most of all what's most important is, I've got to get something for my soul.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Read. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the promise that God has given to you and I, that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you realize that the devil is going to make you, if he possibly can, hunger after everything but righteousness? He is going to make the suggestion to you, as he did to Jesus, to eat some stone, eat something that is not spiritually nutritious to you. He's going to do everything that he can to draw you ever so slightly away. When you look at folks that have once known the Lord and once embraced the things of God, what led them astray was that the devil made a suggestion as they were in the wilderness. They may have been full of the Holy Ghost. As they were in the wilderness, being tempted, being proven by God, the devil made a mere suggestion for them to do something that wasn't wrong within itself, but it began to lead them in a way that led them off the path of the Lord. Do you realize we've got to be careful about that? The devil right now is making suggestions to various ones of us, all of us if he can, at various times, to follow in a vein, and what we look at is that's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a sin to turn stone into bread. No, it's not. But it's a suggestion of the enemy of your soul. Maybe it's not wrong for you to go in that direction. But did the devil make the suggestion, or was it suggested by the Holy Ghost? That is the difference that we need to understand. We need to understand that if we are hungry for something and we're pursuing something, that it must be the things of God. If it is the things of God, it is safe. It is safe for us to partake of. If it is a suggestion of the enemy, though it may not be wrong, it can lead to something that is not beneficial to us. You believe that?
Yes.
All right? So, you're going to be hungry for something. You're going to be hungry for activity. You're going to be hungry for various things, but make certain that when you fulfill them, they're fulfilled by the Holy Ghost. It says, blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he will fill you up. All right? So I come to church. Why do I come to church? Is it because it's simply a duty of me for me to come to church? No. I'm coming to get something for my soul. Maybe I'm the preacher, yes, and I deliver it to the folks that I feed it up. But do you know that the Lord feeds me as I feed you? Do you know that there are sometimes the Lord enlightens you while you stand in the pulpit? Do you realize that they're the songs that are coming forth? They're food, they're manna to my soul, they're meat to me. The testimonies, the exhortations that we have just seen, the saints of God, there is something about it. The fellowship of God's people that is heartwarming. And it satisfies a longing in my soul. I want to be with the saints of God. You want to be with the saints of God. You want to be with people that are of like mind, right? Blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after right. I want to live right. I don't want to just exist. I want to live right. I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you know what? I've got to be hungry for the things of God. And if I am so busy following this line and this suggestion that the enemy presents, then I'm not going to be hungry. I'm not going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. If I get to a place in my experience, if we get to a place in our experience where we feel like this is good enough and I don't have to partake of the Word of God anymore, I've gotten that plateau, then something's going to happen, isn't it? I'm going to start regressing. We're going to start going back on the Lord ever so slightly. It may be imperceptible at first, but before you know it, you'll be so far away and you'll feel so distant from the people of God. And this is where people feel, well, you know what, the saints are different. No, not so much that the saints are different. I want you to examine you. I want you to examine what you've been eating. I want you to examine what you've been hungering after. Has it been righteousness? If it's righteousness, then there is still this fellowship that you have with the people that are striving and seeking and hungering after righteousness. But if there's a desire that you have that I've got a taste and I've acquired a taste for the world and the things of the world, then that's going to be a little distant. And the more you get distant from the saints of God, the more you're going to notice it. All right. Blessed are ye that hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. All of us hunger and thirst, don't we? But what are you hungering and thirsting after? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? We used this term before, we reiterated. Why do you go to work? You go to work because you like working, right? Everybody loves their job and can't hardly wait till Monday morning. Who? I want to see your hand. You may like your job, but you can wait till Monday morning, can't you? Oh, I enjoy what I do, but sometimes you get tired of it, don't you? All of us do. Work is work. That's what it's called, work. Well, find some. Nowadays we live in a world where folks feel like, well, you know, you need to find something you're passionate about and something that you love to do, and then it doesn't become work. And well, maybe you can find that. Maybe you can. But most of us go to work because we're hungry. That's the ultimate reason. Scripture says you don't work, don't eat. We go to work because we're hungry and we need to buy some food. That's ultimately, and we need shelter, don't we? We need clothing. Those are the basics that mankind must have. The basics is I've got to eat, and so I've got to find a way to eat. And so how do I find a way to eat? If I don't go to work, and literally work, I better go out and gather out in the berries and nuts, and I've got to do some kind of work to eat, to satisfy this hunger. In the same way, spiritually speaking, we have to do some kind of work. The scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you don't work at this great salvation, work on yourself, work on keeping the flesh down, you're not going to be able to make it. May the Lord help us. All right. Now, what else do you do? Let's look at... We eat when we're hungry, don't we? Some of us eat when we're not hungry. Some of us can get a big... I'm depressed. So we get a big old thing of ice cream and just sit down and have a pity party and just scoop out the carton. Oh, life is so unfair. And you think about all the problems, and the ice cream makes you feel better, doesn't it? At least something about you. But you're not hungry. Not really hungry. It's just comfort food. And so we do that too. And do you know what? This word is comfort food. You can start reading the Word of God and it comforts you. You're going through something. The Lord's not going to let you have a pity party too long. But you can scoop out of this Word all you want to, and it's good for you. It's not going to make you fat. It's not going to cause some kind of disease because you're eating too much salt or too much of this or that. No, it's just good for you. It's comfort food. Whatever you need, the Word of God is a balanced meal, isn't it? You know what? You remember when you were a child, there were some things that you didn't like. We were picky as children, weren't we? We ate mama broccoli. I did not like broccoli as a child. I don't know. But I like it as an adult. There were some things I just didn't like. And my mother, if it set it on your plate, you ate it. You can go. In our family, it was a family of 11, so you didn't have a lot of extra food. We never went hungry. But the problem was, if you didn't want this and you were too picky to eat it, then you went hungry for that day. You went hungry until the next meal. You're not going to go in and try. Maybe get a peanut butter sandwich or something. And sometimes they say, if you don't eat this, you cannot have anything else. They taught you to eat it. Do you know the Lord does that too? Do you know that sometimes when you come to church and sometimes when you're in a trial or a testing, there will be some things that are not very delicious for you to eat. I believe he said to one of the disciples, he said, one of the prophets, I forget, maybe Elijah, he said, eat the whole roll. And he said, when you eat it, it's going to be sweet in your mouth, but when it hits your belly, it's going to be bitter. And that's how the Word of God sometimes is. Sometimes the things that the Lord says to us, we get this great salvation. Oh, it's the most gracious, wonderful thing that has ever happened to me. I'm so glad I'm saved. And then, and that lasts for a space of time. And then the trials start. The Lord begins to chasten you, and He begins to prove you, and He begins to bring you to places where you understand and realize, you know what? I need to lose a little weight. There's some things, some weight. What Scripture says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There are some things about me that I've got to get fit in. And so the Lord says, for the next few months, I'm going to take you through a regimen where you're not going to be able to eat all this wonderful, fluffy, sweet food. I want you to eat locust and wild honey. That's all. But Lord, it's not very tasty. I don't want to eat a locust. I don't want to eat those things, but it'll sustain you. Do you realize that there are sometimes in your spiritual walk that there are some things that you have to deal with that you really don't want to deal with? I really don't want to go through this, Lord. If there be any way, Jesus said, this cup that you've given me to drink, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, if it's not possible, then I'll drink it, Lord. Do you realize that if Jesus had to drink a cup of gall, then there are going to be times that you and I need to be hungry for a cup of gall. Lord, I'm willing to drink this bitter thing. But what we tend to do when the Lord takes us through those times, we tend to blame other people for our faults, for what's going on in our lives. It's my husband's fault. If he would just straighten up and fly right, my life would be a lot better. You know what? You're absolutely right. But he's not going to straighten up and fly right. So now what you going to do? Well, if my wife was a better this or that, and if she didn't spend so much money, and she didn't wasn't in the shops all the time, then we'd be maybe you will. What are you going to do about it? Is she grown? You're going to tie her up? You're going to chain everything up? You're going to talk to her? You've already talked to her. Now what? You know what we need? We have to do? We have to, Lord, help me to hunger and thirst after what's right. Help me to get it for myself. And if my wife or husband isn't saved, that doesn't mean that I'm going to backslide just to accommodate them, or I'm going to backslide because I ain't taking all that stuff you're giving me. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is a suggestion that has been made to your mind to hunger and thirst after something else. I'm going to get this straight. I'm not going to let her do this to me. I'm not going to let him do this to me. So there is this suggestion, but what we do, what are you partaking of? What are you eating? What are you hungry for? Revenge? Are you hungry for righteousness and allowing the Lord to do what He says He's going to do? Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord. Amen. You don't have to get that person back. You don't have to deal with it. You don't even have to go and clear your name. Let God do it. Let Him be your advocate. Amen. We have to learn that, don't we?
Yes.
All right? But if we're hungry for something else, if we're hungry for something that God has said is not necessarily beneficial for us, what did Jesus do? He said He made Himself of no reputation. But sometimes we're hungry and ambitious, and that's one way of putting it. I'm ambitious to make a name for myself. We don't need to do that, do we? Let the Lord make a name for us. When He makes a name, He said, when I humble myself, when we humble ourselves, He shall exalt us. So I don't have to be hungry for ambition. I don't have to be hungry for everybody to know my name. All I have to do is submit myself to the Lord. Say, Lord, sometimes I'm going to have to go through some of these things. I'm going to have to go through some bitterness. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that in my own experience, and I'm sure all of you have learned these things too, and I've heard other people say it. I've heard the older saints, ministers and whatnot say, the Lord takes you through some severe trials that are enough to mold you over before He chooses to use you in a great way. Because, you know, particularly if you're going to be in a leadership position, you know what leaders have to deal with? They take credit that belongs to somebody else sometimes. Where somebody else has done some things and somebody credits them for what has happened, and maybe they do, they take their own the credit for what they've done themselves. But you know what? A lot of times what a leader has to do, he has to take blame for something that's not his. I didn't do that. Well, you're the leader, aren't you? Yeah, I'm the leader, but I didn't do it like that. But you can't say anything. You just have to zip your lips and let them think whatever they're going to think. And so you're taking blame that's not truly yours. But what are we hungry and thirst after? Lord, I'm ambitious and I've got to get my name cleared of this situation. No, I'm after righteousness. They talked about Jesus. Called Him a wine bibber. Called Him a friend of publicans and sinners. They talked about Him just like they talked about. They'll talk about us. He said, what is it? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. You're blessed. When men shall speak, all, so they're going to speak it for you. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're not going to be able to say, you know what? My reputation is dying. So therefore, I'm desirous to satisfy that part of me and make everybody know. I want to stand up and let everybody know I really am not at fault. Leave it alone. The Lord is teaching you something. He wants to use you in some kind of capacity on down the road when folks are going to be, all kind of barbs are going to be being thrown at you, and they're going to be saying all manner of evil against you falsely, but you're going to have to be able to stand up to it, and the trial that you're going through right now is for that purpose. But you know what? I want to say this. I want to say, be careful of speaking ill of the people of God. Be very careful about saying negative things about folks that are endeavoring by the grace of God to live right. Maybe they don't have everything. Maybe they're not just up to par, but they're striving, they're perfect in the sight of God in this little area of their life. But don't talk about them. And when somebody else gets on the phone and they talk to you about them, don't let them do it. Amen? Anything wrong with that? You know what our mothers used to say? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And if you're going to, you got enough negative things to say, you know what? You can, I'm going to tell you who you can talk to those negative things about. You can talk all day to the Lord about them. You say, Lord, you see how Brother Darrell won't go on and do what he's supposed to do. Lord, help him. Lord, bless him. Give him the grace. Give him the knowledge. Give him the understanding. Talk to him all day long about me. And ask him to help me. And I'll do the same when I see some fault in you. Lord, help them to open their eyes, open their understanding. Help them, but I don't need to go and talk to, I'll call up my, you know what Sister So-and-so did? They said such and such, and and it's all over the church. I'm not saying we do this, but we need to be careful that we don't.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
All right. Luke 15, verse 11. Read, please.
And he said, a certain man had two sons.
Yes.
And the younger of them,
said to his father,
Father, give me the portion of good.
Give me the portion of good that falleth to me.
And he divided
unto them his living.
Not many days after,
the younger son gathered all together
and took his journey
into a far country.
And there he wasted
his substance with riotous living. Now they had two sons. One was a son that had heard the suggestion, heard the advertisement from the world, and said, you know what, I want to go in a different direction. I know my father, I know staying around the farm and staying around the house and all this, I know that probably would be the better thing for me, but you know what, I hear my destiny calling me out there. I hear that there is much for me to do that are out there, and I want to go out there and I want to see it, all right? So here he said, Father, give me the portion that befalleth me, all my inheritance, I want you to give it to me, and he went off to a far country. Read.
When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine
in that land.
And he began to be in want.
And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, here's the point that I want to make here. At his father's house, it's quite a different contrast to where he is right now. He joined himself. He went to this far country. He felt like, I can manage my own affairs. I can manage my own inheritance. I don't need somebody telling me what to do. How many times have we heard young people, old people too, say that? I don't need you telling me what to do. I am well capable of doing it myself. And they go off on this tangent, off in a direction, and you say, you know what? I'm not going there. And I believe I could see his brother as he's going in that direction. And as he's talking, maybe the brother sat down and, you know what? I'm going to ask Dad tomorrow if he can give me the money. And I'm going to ask him, I'm going to make it for myself. I'm going to make it. And you know, when you get out there, it's not like you thought it was going to be. How many young people that moved out can't wait till they're 18 to get out of mama's house? How many of y'all wish y'all was back there? Yeah. You didn't know what mama and them was protecting you from, did you? You didn't know about all the bills. The bills come anyway, whether you want them to or not. You got to get out and work. You could have laid in bed till noon on Saturday on your day off. Now you got to get up and go to work, don't you? Mom and Dad's house look a little bit better than that. Well, here is what this prodigal son is looking at. He's saying, you know what? I can do it on my own. I don't need mom and daddy telling me what to do. And what happened? He spent everything he had a lot of fun in a short period of time. This was his inheritance. Had a lot of fun in a short period of time, riotous living, partying, doing all the things that happened. How many folks party, have all those things, and then have lived a lifetime of regret? A lot of folks do. Don't you know some people right now that wish, you know what? That look at a person that's saved and still saved, maybe in their 20s, and they come back in their 40s and they're all haggard and all beat up and whatnot, and they're saying, don't do what I did. You don't listen to those people. They've had experience that you don't have. You don't have to experience the things that they've been hungry in some places that you haven't been hungry in.
Right.
They've experienced some eating some things that you never want to eat. And so what they'll do is they'll say, you know what, I had to put something in my stomach, but it really wasn't that nutritious, and it was fun for a little while, but then it turned to gravel in my mouth. It's not what it was all cracked up to be. Somebody that comes to their senses understand that, and it's but by the grace of God, they can get back home. All right, read. Mighty famine came in that land. Yes, he began to be in want. Okay, and they see. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. This man was so hungry that he would eat what the hogs were eating. Now, have you ever seen a hog eat? I have. I've seen plenty of them. My father raised hogs from the time that I could remember to the time that I was happy to get away from home. I hated hogs. I hated getting my hands dirty and my feet dirty. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. As I look back on it, we have to get up before school and feed them and go. I was raised like the old time folks. Y'all got to go stay in the bed. I didn't get to stay in the bed on Saturdays. Every day the hogs had to be fed. Had 300 of them at one time. And it wasn't fun feeding them. Well, we made it fun when our friends came. It was fun to our friends. They would come and feed them because they only had to do it once in a while. And it was fun. Wasn't fun to us when you had to do it every day. Christmas, Thanksgiving, and all holidays. You had to do it. It wasn't that fun. But let me tell you something about a hog. They're nasty. All right? It'll fall on the ground. I see them. I won't even mention some of the things I've seen them do. But one thing that they do is whatever they're eating, they make it look like it's the best thing since sliced bread. They make it look good. They make it sound good. You have somebody just smacking and licking their lips. That is good. Now here's this man watching the hog. I'm not telling y'all something somebody told me. I'm telling you something I saw myself. A hog can make you want to eat. You get very hungry. He can make you want to eat what he's eating. The husk. It was just husk. It wasn't even the corn. It wasn't even something that was beneficial. It was just a husk. And they made it look so good that you wanted, that he wanted to eat it. Do you know? That's how we're to make salvation look. Well, that's how it is. But you know, when we're standing here and we're singing a song, if somebody watches us sing and watches us serve the Lord, would they want to serve him by watching us? Lord, help us. Always so hungry and thirsty after righteousness that we do what the hogs did to the prodigal son. Make somebody else want to eat it. Lord, I'm hungry for righteousness. I'm smacking my lips. I'm doing everything possible to make it look as attractive, make the attractive look, the way look attractive. And I'm hungry for it. I want this. I want it just like you give it to me. I want the good. I want the bad. And let me tell you, when we were through with the hogs and the trough was clean. It wasn't just this, oh, they picked and chopped it off. That looks good, but I don't know about this. I don't know about that. When it was finished, everything that we poured out there, they ate it. Everything. Everything that was edible and some things that weren't. You know what we're to do? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Everything that God gives us that's edible, we're to eat it. Lord, I'm seeking for strength for righteousness' sake. I want to live right. I want to do right. I want to be right, Lord. And I'm hungry and I'm thirsting after it. And Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what you have for me. I'm willing to eat it. What does the scripture says in Proverbs 27? To the full soul, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. There are going to be some bitter things that come across the pulpit. There are going to be some bitter things that you're going to read in the Word of God that the Lord's going to require of you. And you're going to look around and you're going to say, nobody else is eating that. Well, they haven't gotten to it yet. And maybe they're eating something bitter that you don't know about. But if you're hungry, it's sweet. Lord, I don't care. I don't care. I'm willing to partake of it. It's yours. You've given it to me. And I'm going to eat it. But if you're full of the things of the world, you're going to find fault with what God is doing in your life. And you're not going to be so hungry. Remember the times when we were children and that we wanted a piece of cake? And Mom said, nope, not until after dinner. Wanted some candy? No, not until after dinner. You know why they said that? Because those things suppressed our appetite, didn't they? The more you partake of the world, the more it suppresses your appetite for the things of God. And the more you partake of the things out there in the world, you wonder why you're not hungry, why you don't want to. You can go to the Rangers in the World Series, aren't they? Aren't they? Rangers in the World Series. Everybody can go around and go to the Rangers. I'm not saying the Saints go to the Rangers game. I'm just saying, I'm making a point here. But the Rangers game is going to be on a Sunday one of these times. You know what? They're going to have to choose whether or not to go to church or to the Rangers game. And you know what? What do? You stand in line. You go and get in the line before you get to the stadium. You have to stand in line for 2 hours. Going to the stadium. I think. But anyway, here's the point. Would you stand in line? And don't let it go into what they call it, doubleheaders. What's a doubleheader? I don't even know what a doubleheader is. Is that two games? That's two games. Okay, that's not a double. Don't let it go into overtime. Oh, we're going to stay extra inning. We got to have an extra inning. Do you know sometimes the preacher has to have an extra inning? Oh, but let's see. Oh, I gotta get to Texas Roadhouse before everybody else gets in. I'm going to split. It's an extra inning. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. Not after Texas Roadhouse, hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Let me see what God has. Through this brother, he's staying a long time, so God must have something good for me. Oh, it got better at the end. You should have saw. He hit a home run. So what we have to do, saints, hunger and thirst after righteousness, what did it say? It's a promise that you will be filled. Thank the Lord. You can do that by the help and the grace of God. All right. Now, let me tell you, we acquire taste. You like greens? I was talking so much about greens to brother. I think it was Brother Brett. Oh, green. You got to get some greens at Sweet George's. Sweet George Brown. You get some greens there. Them are some good greens. They put a lot of butter and salt and stuff that ain't good for you, sugar. And so we went there one day and he ate the greens and he said, you know what? I don't like greens. It wasn't that impressive to me. Somebody that don't normally eat greens of a different culture. Nothing wrong with it. But I'm going over to India and the things that they eat, I don't necessarily enjoy some of the things. Some of it I like. Sometimes we acquire tastes for things. We say they're good not because they really are good, but because we've acquired a taste for them. All right? And so in the same way, I want us to say, you know what? If we acquire a taste for the things of the world, we don't want the things of God because we've acquired a taste for something different. And so what happens in the spiritual realm is that because the people have acquired a taste for the world and for the things of the world, in order to keep them interested in the things of God, we've got to bring the world into the church. And so now what I have to do, we've got to have praise dancers because they have dancers out there.
We got to have different things in the church because of the acquiring of the taste in our mouth that we want this because of entertainment. We got to bring entertainment into the church because someone can't sit up and listen to somebody preach the Word of God for 45 minutes. It's too boring, so we got to make this 20 minutes. Or we've got to do some kind of performance to make everybody clearly engaged in the Word of God. Well, sometimes the Word of God, when you're reading the Word of God, you're not, when you're sitting there meditating on the Word of God, nobody's going to be singing it to you. You're not going to be, and when you're in the midst of the trial, you don't need somebody singing and dancing. You need the Word of God. It is a sword to fight with. It is a sword of God's mouth. It is something that I need energy and I need something to come against the powers of the enemy with this. So I need the Word of God. I need it very plain. I need it very clear. Sometimes I don't need butter on it. I don't need sugar on it. I just need the unadulterated Word of God. That's all I want. Because, let me tell you, beans and cornbread without any salt, without anything, it will take you through. You'll be able to eat a bowl of beans. You can go through the day with it. It doesn't have to have any extra things all stirred up in. You have to put the ground beef and tomato, whatever you put in. You don't have to make chili beans. You can just have plain boiled beans. Not very tasty, but it will hold you. It'll take you through whatever work you've got to do for that day. Do you know the Lord says, as your day is, so shall your strength be? And do you know sometimes the trials that you go through and maybe the word that the Lord gives you this morning, maybe it's not something that really that you wanted. I really wanted the angels, the Lord, to open up heaven and see the angels when I was meditating this morning and I almost fell asleep and all of this and it wasn't very good, but did you eat? Did you eat? Were you hungry enough to say, you know what, you're going to eat this? Had a little situation this week praying for the little Anderson baby who's the mother. She hasn't taken formula. She didn't want to take the formula, but it was needful for that to happen, and she wouldn't eat it. So there was a concern. Well, she's not eating. She won't take the bottle at all because she's not used to that. She's been fed by the mother and she's not used to that. So what do we do? Do we start giving her? Do we take her back to the mother? The mother is sick. No, it's not a good thing right now. Put her on formula. Well, what? She won't eat. She's just hollering. Well, let me tell you, she gets hungry enough. This is the conversation that the women were having. I heard it. Let her get hungry. It may take several hours, but let that child get hungry enough, she's going to eat that, drink that milk. And you know what happened? She got hungry and she drank the milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? So that you can grow thereby. We need to be babies. And sometimes we are nibbling on various things and we're not hungry enough and we're demanding, take me back to the this is what I want to eat. And the Lord says, no, you're not going to eat that. You're not going to eat it. That's not what I have for you. And let me tell you what happens when you begin to wean a child off of a bottle. Some of you, the Lord, some of us, all of us, the Lord wants at some point in our spiritual life to wean us off the bottle. Alright, we should be able to eat meat instead when you have needs that you ought to be teaching others. You have needs that someone teach you. The Lord wants to wean you off of milk. Tell a little story about Sister Kim when she was a little girl. Having a bottle. And she would, it was time for her, had teeth. When you get teeth, you need to get off the bottle, right? So she is always dropping the bottle. And they're running out and getting the bottle and giving it back to her. So she was on a bus, on a city bus one time. And then they said, if you drop that bottle out that window, we ain't going to go get it. So you know how babies do. They pick it up. Look at you. They don't believe me. She drops it out the window. And her sisters, her older sisters just sit there and look at it. I ain't getting that for you. You know what? That was the last bottle she had. She'd go by that place and she saw it a few times. There go my bottle. Some of y'all, some of us, need to drop the bottle, don't we? It's time to eat. It's time to be hungry for the things of God. It's time to be hungry for meat. And sometimes we just want it easy, nice and easy. But the Lord is saying to us, it's time to eat meat.
hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. All right. Another scripture. We're moving toward our conclusion. John 4, verse 31. Read it for us if you have. His disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. All right, now, have you ever gotten so involved in something that you forgot to eat? Something that you had to get up and you had to get something done, and you got so involved in it that you literally, it was 4 o'clock in the evening, and you realized, I haven't eaten anything all day long. I think this is what the scripture is talking about. I think this is why I have meat that you don't even know about. He goes on to tell them, you see the white, the field is all white to harvest. This is my meat. This is what motivates me. This is where my hunger is, to see the things of God done. And do you know, I believe the Lord wants us. Lord, help me to have more of a hunger and thirst after the things of God. That I can see the fields are white to harvest, and the laborers are few. And so the Lord is saying, pray therefore that He sends laborers in His harvest. Do you know that the Lord wants you to do that? And we get so involved in the work of the Lord, just like we get involved in a little project that we have, and we forget to eat. He said, I have meat that you know not of. And He said, did somebody give Him some food? No, that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about His real motivation, the thing that motivates Him, not finding something to eat, is doing the will of God. What motivates us, really, when we really boil it down, what motivates us to get up out of that bed in the morning is we want to eat. We may have layers and layers of other things on top of it. We want shelter over our head and all these things. But even if we didn't have shelter on our head, we want to eat and drink. We could live out there under that shade tree for years if we had something to eat. So food is the most basic necessity. Food and drink is our most basic necessity. So what do? We get up and we go out and motivates us to eat. And here's what Jesus is saying here. My meat, my motivation is to do the will of Him that sent me. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see. If the Lord is good, blessed is the man that trusted in Him. I believe every one of us can say, oh, taste and see. Yes. Taste and see. Yes. It's not just something that we want you to hear somebody else say, but we want you to experience it yourself. Yes. And if I can show forth, if we can show forth Christ in our lives so strongly, yes, that it makes somebody say, you know what? Can I have a bite of that?
Right. Right.
Can I eat some? And you say, oh yes, taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. And I want to say something that I've said, reiterate something that I've said before. Don't just seek for the blessings of the Lord. And seek after the Lord and say, you know what, I'm hungry for the things of God and the blessings of God. I want to be hungry for God. I want you. I want you, Lord. I want to be hungry for you. May the Lord help and bless each and every one of us. It's my prayer. Let us stand.